As Nathan said to me, as a good Methodist, Mark has two scripture readings, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. And I'm just going to read those briefly. The first from Isaiah chapter 61, first three verses. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 13 to 18. We're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And we're now going to rely on Mark to interpret those for us.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Lovely to be here. It's interesting to stand this side rather than sit that side. I'm not sure there is such a thing as a good Methodist. Not quite sure what that really means. I wasn't brought up a Methodist.
You were.
Maybe you're a good Methodist. So I come from a non-Christian family, actually, but my involvement with the Methodist Church started, as most young people's do, in a youth club. The Methodist Church round the corner to me ran the best youth club in the district and had the prettiest girls. What other reason was there to go to church? It was the great place to meet somebody, and I did, and we have Nathan, but we also have two other boys who are both older than Nathan, Daniel and Matthew. Daniel, who also lives in Chelmsford, but Matthew lives 4.5 hours away, for which all of us as a family are quite grateful, because he's a bit of a handful. Here's my middle son. Okay, just a little bit about me, because this sort of puts some context, I think, on this morning's service. So I was a police officer for over 30 years in the Metropolitan Police, and that's not a great advert currently. Okay, the Metropolitan Police is not in a good place. But I was a detective for 22 in the East End of London, and I worked on a murder team in the East End for over 10 years. And then I went to work at Scotland Yard on sensitive and complex inquiries, which really was fantastic, but meant that I travelled a lot. So I travelled throughout the UK, and then I ended up travelling around the world a little bit as well. So that just helps, I think, to put a little bit of context on this morning. Because I want to talk to you about freedom. Freedom. Physical freedom, mental freedom, spiritual freedom. And what that might look like for all of us and each of us. And it will be different for each of us. It will not be the same. Just to get you to start to think about this a little bit, we have a video, I think, that Andy's put together for me with some background music, and Dave's going to play. It's about 4.5 minutes long, I've been told. I'd like you just to look at the images and think about what they mean to you. And they'll mean different things, bearing in mind that we're thinking about freedom. This morning's theme started with a walk in Norsey Woods, which we live quite close to. I was walking my dog, and I think with a bit of luck, there we are, there she is. This is Frances, and she's a withdrawn guide dog. Okay, so she didn't make the grade. They don't like to use the word failed, but we tell her quite often that she didn't make it. She doesn't pay any attention. But she's really good for me because she is a discipline. Like anybody who has a dog, they know, don't you? You haven't got a choice. She's had to go out this morning in the pouring rain. She's not bothered. But she and I were walking through Norsey Woods, and it was a day when the news in Gaza had been quite awful. Quite awful. As I was walking through the woods that morning, it was very quiet. The sun had just risen, and it was actually very peaceful. And there was just me and her. It felt really relaxed and calm. But as I was walking, I thought about the people of Gaza and their attempts to flee from the war, and all that had been unleashed on them. Dave, can I have slide 14, please? That's a good start, isn't it? Okay. So this is a picture of the people at the Rafah crossing, trying to escape from the war. And the gates are closed. Children, elderly people, they can't escape. Their freedom, their physical freedom, has been restricted. And it was very poignant, wasn't it, that we prayed this morning for places in parts of the world where war is creating this situation, where people cannot escape. I could equally have used a picture of the people in Ukraine, where previously we've seen them getting onto trains, and we see some very powerful images of children reaching out to their fathers who are going to go to war that they may never ever see again. But these images are not just pictures. They are reality. They are for people in the world how their life is, and they have no freedom. This is a picture of people trying to flee into Egypt. It is a part of the world that in Scripture We often hear and read of people fleeing and escaping, and it's still happening. It's a part of the world that means so much to all of us because of our faith and what we believe to be true. And yet hate and pain still persists. It would seem that nothing has changed. When Russia invaded Ukraine, thousands of people, tens of thousands of people, probably hundreds of thousands of people, moved from the east to the west, and we saw these pictures being repeated, children separated from family, from fathers and mothers. And we know in our own history that children are evacuated during the Blitz, away from the urban areas to the safer countryside. And it might be that today, on Mother's Day, we might have that chance to talk to our mothers who perhaps grew up in that time and maybe hear a little of their story and how it was for them. And indeed, we know the story of the Kinder transport that came to England from Nazi Germany. So there is nothing new in all this terror. But it is still awful to see and emotionally challenging for all of us. As I continued my walk, thinking about escape and freedom, that led me to thinking about fear. Because it's fear that energizes people to attempt to escape. What is it that they're seeking in their freedom? My conclusion was, it's a place of safety where they could live their lives peacefully and free without any fear. Just as I was able to experience that morning as I walked through Norsey Woods. Freedom probably means different things to different people. And if I asked you this morning, you'd probably all have a different idea. But perhaps at its most basic level, it's being able to do the things that we want to do in a place that's safe, without causing harm to another. If you just take a moment now, I'd like you to think about what freedom means to you, and actually just define it for yourselves in your own mind, if you will. Just take a moment. There are a number of slides that picture prison places. These are the exact opposite of what I've just described. Dave, can we go to slide one, please? That's fine. And we'll just bring these up one by one. Two. Does anybody know where that is? No? Okay. That's actually Lincoln Prison. Okay, I'll come back to it in a minute. Five. Eight. Now, I think that's Wandsworth Prison. I've been to lots of prisons. Okay? They all come in various shapes and sizes. Those of any of you that work in the judicial system will have been to some form of institution. They're not all like this. They're really not. But a lot of them still are. And we put people in places like this and expect their behaviour to change. Slide 10, please, Dave. You all know where that is, don't you? Tower of London. And it was a prison. They're designed to restrict one's freedom. But not just physical freedom, which is our popular view. They also restrict people's mental freedom. Can we go back to slide 6, please, Dave? This is the chapel at Lincoln Prison. Okay. Each offender was put into one of those square places. There was no option about going to chapel. Every prisoner went, but they all went individually. And they all stood for the duration of the service, and the only person that they could see was the preacher. What a good idea, I think. You'd only be able to look at me. They couldn't see the person next to them. They never met the person next to them because they were all put in individually and they were all taken out individually. What a way to come to church. Fortunately, times have changed. And of course, during the course of the slides that we saw pictures of concentration camps and death camps. Perhaps extreme examples of a prison with no thought or expectation given to rehabilitation. Just incarceration, punishment, and often death. So what is freedom for us as believers? Dave, you can turn them off now, thanks. What is freedom for us as believers in Jesus? We can see in his life that he was not able to do just as he wanted to do. He took his purpose of bringing in a new covenant between God and his people as the very reason for him being. That was his reason for being, to bring in a new promise for all of us to be able to meet with God. To meet him in a new way. But he had no restrictions when it came to his relationship with his Father. Indeed, he actually challenged the very idea of such restrictions. The teaching that the rules were a hindrance to that relationship and not a help. Now, this message from Jesus is reinforced in the readings from 2 Corinthians, where Paul writes of the veil that covers over the face in verse 13. And he says that even to this day, a veil covers their hearts in verse 15. This veil is the barrier to freedom. It is the barrier to truly knowing God for ourselves. Now, this barrier might be different for each of us, but it exists. There is something quite often that prevents us from drawing closer to God. And it is as much of a challenge for us now, perhaps more, I think probably not, as it was at the time that Paul is writing these words. The barrier stops us becoming close to God. Or to put it another way, it prevents us becoming intimate with him. And this is important because as believers in Christ, our freedom is to be found in relationship with him and God. Some years ago, we all went on a family holiday to Ireland. Nathan won't remember, he was too little, he was a baby. But whilst we were there, we went to look at some beehive huts. You know those little stone huts? Those of you that probably are aware of those? On the Skellig Isles, we went to have a look at them. And those little stone domes, look them up on the internet when you get home. They're like little igloos. They're tiny, made out of rock. But what strikes one particularly about these are that they are on a rocky outcrop, with no visible way for anybody to survive. Why are they there? Well, they're there to allow an individual to find a freedom to know God in all his glory. And yet, at first glance, it would appear that anyone who's using these is actually putting themselves of their own choosing into a prison. Because there's no escape from the island except by boat. and then only when the weather and the wind and the tide permit. And these islands are off the west coast of Ireland, so it's a rare combination indeed for all of those things to come together. Freedom is to be found in knowing God intimately. In verse 17, Paul writes, "Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Paul is telling us that God is not to be found in the physical things of life, but in those things that are more often difficult to see. And to use a word that I don't use very often, they're more ethereal. Who's been to Barcelona? You can answer, yes, no, put your hands up. I don't mind. You don't all have to sit there very quietly. Okay. So those of you that have been, who's been to the unfinished cathedral? What did you think? Didn't like it. Why didn't you like it? Because it's not finished? Didn't do anything for you? Okay. It did for me. On the afternoon that I went, the sun was pouring in through the west side of the cathedral, through all the coloured glass, and you could see the particles of dust in the air. Okay. So inside, go if you get the chance. Has anybody else been inside? Okay. Did you enjoy it or not? Yeah. They got quite spectacular. Sorry? No roof when you went. Well, there's a roof now. All right. There's a roof now. Did you see the pillars inside? Were they built? So the pillars are like trees, aren't they? They're not really like pillars. These are like enormous stone trees. Okay? And they just spread out and support this super structure that Nathan would be delighted at if he went to have a look at, being his engineer. He'd think, how on earth does this all stay up? And they have the most spectacular glass on the east and west side of the cathedral. On the east side, it's all blue and green. So as the sun comes up, it comes through those windows and reflects within the cathedral. And on the west side, it's all oranges and browns. So in the evening when the sun sets, it's all warm and very comforting. And on the day that I was there, as I was saying, there were particles in the air. And it was just like being with God. He was there. And there's a lot of people in there. But it was a very real spiritual experience. God is there. It felt like I was looking at him. It was an ethereal experience. It was an intimate connection with the nature of the Spirit of God. Quite extraordinary. I quite often hear the phrase that with freedom comes responsibility. And if I'm honest, I'm not really sure how helpful this is. Because to me, this expression infers that freedom is the root, a driver for the way that we live. But as Christians, we know that this is not true, because our root is grown in our faith in God. And we know that God is love at the center of our lives. And this is where he sits. But what this expression does lead us to ask is, with our Christian freedom, what responsibilities do we have? We believe we're free in Christ. We believe he died to give us this freedom. But what does that actually mean for each one of us? With love being at the center of who we are, how do we express this? How do we demonstrate this? How do we live it as a reality rather than just an intellectual thought? We're very good at making this an intellectual idea, but how good are we at making this an emotional response to love? On Mother's Day, we know that love is not an intellectual thing. It's an emotional connection. And that is what love is between us and God. Our responsibility as Christians is clear. We're here to spread the good news. What causes debates and discussion is how do we spread this good news? And within these discussions, the root of our being, the driver for our lives, to love the Lord our God, or Lord our God, with all our heart and soul and mind, if we're not careful, that gets forgotten. And we're called to love one another, just as I've loved you. And that gets lost. It doesn't have to be this way, because we don't have to do these things alone. God has given us the Holy Spirit to aid us in our search and exploration of freedom. As Christians, we find freedom in God's Spirit. This is real freedom, the freedom to be close to Him, the freedom to experience and know what heaven might be like, a freedom that is not imposed upon us by the rules of this world or any world, but a freedom that is given to us as a gift if we just take it. One of the songs that Andy chose, in fact, the song that you taught us, I'd quite like the words to that before we started today, actually, because the words are clearly chosen. Andy knew what the theme was about freedom, and they reflect most clearly about how people feel trapped. They talk about darkness, they talk about addiction within those words, and they're seeking the freedom. Now, we know the answer to that. The answer is to know who Jesus is and to embrace His love. If we take this gift of freedom, we will all reflect God's glory. And we will be transformed into His likeness, just as Paul wrote in verse 18 of the reading in Corinthians. And that is our purpose. We are called to reflect God's glory. Nothing more, nothing less. That is our calling. Which leaves me with only one further thing to ask you this morning. How much of God's glory have you reflected this week? Freedom is to be found in knowing God, not in the physical, but in the spiritual. And without knowing that, we will never know what true freedom is. Amen.